You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Jordan Bastian, and we are coming to you live on tape from the Progressive Field Media Dining Room, a very popular place to record podcasts.
You know, it's not tape anymore, Anthony. You're showing your age by calling this tape.
MP4. This is an MP4.
Yeah.
I know that. Okay, so we are here, JB. It's opening day, and it's not, because they actually just postponed opening day. And so this podcast, by the time people listen to it, hopefully the opener will actually have been played.
Right.
And somebody will be 1-0. And
so we're going to postpone posting this podcast.
That's usually what happens, right?
Right.
Postponed podcast.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can't talk about the season
right.
at large, no matter what happens in day one exactly. And we're going to do a little over-under action. That's the theme this week. So, we got 10 of them here, JB.
All right.
To roll through. Let's talk some over-unders. First of all, I'm going to start with Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd makes the opening day roster, the veteran 38-year-old power producer. Last year, how many home runs for Marlon Byrd last year?
Over 20, I believe.
Right? 28?
I don't know if it was that high.
I don't know. Well, this is the kind of thing you should know when you record a podcast, but whatever. You people at home could look that up. Anyway, I'm going to set it low because he's got a low-profile role here in this club. I'm going to set it at 15 home runs. What do you got for Marlon Byrd?
You know, I mean, that's almost a push. It's hard to say. If I had to take over or under, I'd probably go under just because, sort of as you mentioned, his role is going to evolve. We're going to kind of see how he fits into the mix here when Chisenhall comes back, how this is going to work. But right now I see him mainly as a versus left-handed bat. I think he'll get playing time against right-handers. You know, maybe we'll see how Napoli develops as an everyday guy. You know, maybe Byrd could take some DH at-bats as a right-handed hitter. Santana could move to first. I think there's a lot of moving parts early on. So until I kind of can see how Byrd fits into things, I think you got kind of got to take the under.
Okay. Yeah, I would lean towards the under just because it is such an unknown. And the age on top of that. Age and the role. Mike Napoli, we know his role. He is the first baseman. However, he has not had a 20-homer season since 2013 with the Red Sox. Of course, that year turned out pretty well for him and for them. Had a little surge late last season. What do you expect, Mike Napoli? I'm setting it at 20 home runs.
I'm going to put it at over, and mainly it's both role and health is what I'm taking into account there. You know, they look at him right now as an everyday guy, so you can anticipate, I think, in the first half of the season, at least, he's going to be the everyday first baseman versus lefties versus righties. And I also think he's another year removed from that very invasive surgery to help his sleep apnea issues. I think he went through a very unorthodox offseason two winters ago. You know, couldn't really train. He lost a lot of weight. I think that probably took more of a toll on him than people really put credit in, you know, when they look at his season last year. Yeah, I can't even imagine what, as an everyday life guy, going through that sort of thing, not to mention being out there as an athlete, being asked to perform. So I think it being a year further removed from that and also another year removed from the hip issues, another year of being a first baseman, you know, I just think, you know, and given the role they're giving him, I think he could top 20.
All right. Tyler Naquin, obviously a big story out of Tribe Camp. The rookie makes the club. And, again, this outfield is so in flux, it's hard to know. So I'm going to say 100 games over or under for Tyler Naquin. 100 games in the big leagues this year.
Out of the chute, I'll go under because he's being used not strictly as a part-time guy, but he's probably won't see a lot of tough lefties. You won't see him in the lineup against David Price on opening day, whenever the Indians play that. And you know,
rumored opening day.
Also, I just think Terry Francona is going to try and ease him in. And then there's also the chance that, hey, if he runs into some struggles, you know, they won't hesitate to send him down to AAA. He really earned a spot this spring, but playing in Cleveland in April is a whole different animal than Arizona in March. So I'm going to take the under right now.
Yeah, I would probably lean towards the under as well, and that's no knock on Naquin. I think it's just a credit to the very flexible nature of this outfield in general. Part of that, obviously, revolves around Michael Brantley and the shoulder surgery. And everybody talks about it, you know. Surgery on the lead shoulder, how that can impact you, especially from a power perspective. Last year, Mr. Brantley played through some things as well. He had a 480 slugging percentage, so I'm going to set it right there. 480 slugging percentage over or under post-surgery.
I'm going to take the under. I think even if he gets out hot, I think we just can't predict what he's going to look like come August and September. I think there will be some adjustment period for him with that shoulder, and if that means he gets a few more doubles and a couple less home runs, maybe a few more singles, I just think the slugging will take a little bit of a hit. I think the on-base and the batting average might be right in line, but I could see the slugging taking a hit because of the nature of that injury.
Yeah, I would lean towards the under there as well. Carlos Santana, obviously a favorite of the fan base. You know,
yeah,
not so much. But 250 batting average for Mr. Santana. He was, what, 232 last season?
231 in each of the last 2 years. And because fans just love to focus on his batting average, hey, I'm going to take the under on that as well. Again, I think once upon a time, Manny Acta said this would be a 300 hitter. I think he has shown repeatedly that that's not what he is. He's a 230 hitter. I think the average will once again be between 230 and 249.
Yeah.
But he's still going to hit for power. He's still going to get on base. And I think maybe the power numbers increase a little this year. I don't know. He says that back bothered him last year. And I also think just having Napoli in the cleanup spot maybe take a little pressure off Santana. So I think the power numbers could be better than last year. You don't want to see him with a sub-400 slugging again. But the batting average, I would take the under.
He's a big X factor for them. Obviously, and moving to the DH role is going to be interesting. All right. Pitching staff. We know this is the strength of this club. Let's focus on a few guys in the rotation here.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Kluber. Now, last season, Mr. Kluber had a 3.49 ERA, but he had a 2.97 FIP.
Look at you with your fancy stats.
Fielding independent pitching. That's what his ERA should have been, basically, if you assume proper defense and whatnot, which now they have. So a 3 ERA over or under for the Klubot.
I will be optimistic and take under, and there's a couple reasons. One is the improved defense. So he's going to have a much better defense behind him this year right out of the gates. And then also the run support can't be as bad as it was last year, and there were times where he stayed on the mound for a couple extra batters or an extra inning while he was losing 1-0 or 2-1 to try and, you know, just help the team and stay out there, and then he'd give up another run or two, and that hurt his ERA. I think a lot of times people forget about that. So 3.49, yeah, his ERA jumped from his Cy Young season. It's fair to criticize that, but I think there were a lot of elements in play there. So I'll be optimistic. I will say he finishes with a sub-3 ERA.
Okay, so now when you're listening to this and you know that Kluber gave up 8 runs on opening day, you know he got ML Bastion.
That's right, say. ML yeah. Bastion.
Carlos Carrasco, he threw 183 and two-thirds innings last season. Will he cross the 200-inning threshold in 2016?
I think the Indians sure hope so, and I'll say yes. I think he's been building towards that. He had a little bit of an injury issue down the stretch last year that cost him a little bit of time, but he's healthy. He looks strong. He's a big dude. He can haul 200 innings. I think he's going to do it this year.
I think so, too. Cody Anderson is in the rotation out the chute. Trevor Bauer is not. So these two guys will focus on them here. Cody Anderson, first of all, had 7 wins last year, had a solid rookie season, came in strong, won a job in the rotation. 10 wins. I know the wins aren't the be-all and end-all, but help me out here. 10 wins, over or under?
Over, sure. Why not? Okay. He's going to be in the rotation for the start of the season. You know, I think the improvement he showed both physically and stuff-wise this spring was very eye-opening. I've told people to me from watching all of the pitchers, aside from Kluber, he impressed me the most just in terms of, you know, his, I guess, just jump in performance from last year to now. So I'll take over 10.
All right. Yeah, he's definitely a breakout candidate, I would say, based on last year's sample and the improvement in his stuff. And physique. Trevor Bauer, meanwhile, starts the season out in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So, will Trevor Bauer make 20 starts at some point over the course of this season? Will he make 20 starts over or under?
I mean, that's another one that I would, it's almost a push. I would almost set it right around 20 from my expectation. Maybe a little over. I just think that Tomlin makes a ton of sense out of the gates as the fifth starter, but his home run rate, you know, is worrisome. I don't know how much you want to put it in the stock, just that, I think, 10 start sample size last year. So I think he earned the right, being a veteran, to start in that role. He also is a swing guy with all the off days. Makes a lot of sense because he has experience doing that. But I don't think we've seen the end of Trevor Bauer as a starter. That said, I think he could be an elite reliever if he really embraces that role. His velocity would play up. He could narrow his pitches and could log multi-innings and could really be a weapon. I'm almost reminded of Masterson down the stretch in 2013 when he wasn't stretched out. You know, just how valuable he was as sort of this hybrid reliever down there. I think Bauer has that type of potential. I think, you know, a guy who's been looking for ways to have fun in baseball, you know, ramping it up with the radar gun and kind of blowing people away in over a couple innings could be a lot of fun down there. He could really embrace that role. But I don't think we've seen the end of him as a starter, so I would take a slight over on the 20 starts.
Okay. Now the big question, the last question. Win total. Last year, the Houston Astros won the second wild card spot in the American League with 86 wins. Indians won 81 games last year. I'm going to set the over-under at 85. Do the Indians win more, less, the same? What do you think?
Well, I have them as a wild card team in my predictions. You know, based on the strength of the pitching staff, I think if we're going to, as a media whole, show as much love as we are towards the New York Mets, I kind of feel like the Indians got to be treated similarly. They have a very similar rotation and kind of similar questions throughout the offense. So I'm going to take the over because I have them as a wild card team, and I think it's mainly because of the strength of that rotation.
All right. Well, I'm going under because I'm a pessimistic jerk. Yes. No, I just, you know, too many questions in the offense for me, but certainly there's the potential to, basically there's a potential to win series with this club because the way the rotation lines up. I do like Cody Anderson, as I said, as a potential breakthrough slash breakout guy. I just have concerns about the offense until I see otherwise.
I feel it's the same throughout the entire American League Central. I feel like each one of these teams could finish first, or they could finish last.
And to your point, as Terry Francona would say, that's one thing though that could drive down win totals in this division. It is pretty deep, but it's kind of hard to predict. We shall see. But for now, that's Jordan Bastian. I'm Anthony Cashmans. Thanks for tuning in. And one of these days, they'll get this opener in, right?
That's right. I hope so. Hopefully, they will have played a game by the time you are listening to us.
And they'll be on their way to their either, I say, sub-85 win total. So.
Okay. 88.
Thanks for listening. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.